here's a question. Mm-hmm. Is the religion of Islam doing too much? Was this a fair fight? Well done, you tried, to the student. Or being that they knew what the school was about, was this arrogance on the student's part and the parents'?
Oh, wow, that is a very well phrased question. I see why you're proud of it. Ladies and gents, welcome back to Offbeat POV in the World, the segment of the show in which we remind ourselves that we're not of the world, but we are still in the world. So let's have a look to see what's going on. Pronik?
Right, so very exciting stuff I have for you today. Well, they're exciting for me, mm-hmm. actually. Very interesting. I don't know what you're going to think of this. But let's go ahead and start with the school called Michaela, I think it is, yeah, in London. Head teacher being celebrated for being very, very, very brave and standing strong. So for those of you that don't know the story, which I hope you all know the story, now the story is going off my head. So basically, there's a school in London called Michaela. It's not a multi-faith school. It's a zero-faith school, from what I gathered.
It's a no-faith
school. It's a no-faith school. And
check what most schools.
That's why I don't know why he wanted to. I don't know why he wanted to emphasize that point.
For a
but
second,
okay.
I was like, am I missing something? I have to think in my head.
All right, so let me not say too much. Basically, what happened was that a student that attends the school sued the school or took the school to court because they have an anti-prayer ban at the school. She wanted a slot and not slot, but she wanted a prayer room to be granted, given to them so that they can do their prayers. She is an Islam, from what I understand.
You always got get those mixed
on.
Up. Islam is the religion, Muslim is the person.
So if here you, I was, if you're about a person, here I was thinking to myself,
I know. That's why you're like, yes, I've got it right now.
All right. Please excuse me. It's not ignorance. I will learn this. I will get it correct. I hope I don't offend anybody. Just forgive me. But yeah, so she is a Muslim who attends this school, and she took the school to court, and the court ruled against her, basically. Yep. Said that the school is well within its right. So that's what I want to hear from you guys. It's very interesting. I know you have a lot to say about it, but first thing that came to my mind was to say, if you are going to run a multi-faith society, if you're going to exist in the today society, this is a very good way of going about it, right? One rule for all, with no exceptions. But what are our thoughts on that?
But then you can't you can't leave that just to religion. If you're going to do one rule for all, no exceptions, that has to apply to more than just faith and religion.
For now, let's stick to the religion.
Okay, so give me an example of what else needs to apply to.
Gender, the conversations that are happening, you know. There's been campaigns for transgender toilets, and those are popping up everywhere in schools. And that's all as
well. Oh,
yeah. Well,
okay. Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Okay. That's where my point is.
If that's what you're saying.
If it's one, it's going to have to apply to more than just religion.
Okay. So I think what I can say is that it's, I don't have a problem with what you're saying. But to start off with, in dealing with religion, is this the right way to deal with it? Is this the right way to go about it? Are we like the mass celebrating this?
The ruling
head teacher and the ruling.
I'm conflicted. Conflicted.
That's very surprising. I'm not gonna lie.
No, I really am conflicted because first and foremost, I was like, yes. I was like, yes, you go. I was like, this is a good thing. But then the reason I'm conflicted is because I don't know if it will be a double standard going forward.
Okay.
So what I do celebrate, what I do like, is the fact that the school took a stance and they say, no, this is our school. These are our policies. This is our ethos. You knew this when you signed up. Therefore, don't come in here and try to change what we do. This is what we do. You either stick with it or get lost. And the court were like, the school has a point. I love that. that's the bit that I'm like, yes, that is so good. I think more organizations, more people need to be able to take a stand and say, no, no, this is what we believe, this is what we do, this is our culture, this is who we are.
Mm.
If you don't like what we do, don't try to change us. Get lost. Mm. Go somewhere else.
Go down to the school that allows you to do what you
want. I love that. The only thing I'm conflicted about is whether it's a double standard. It will be a double standard in that when it's someone who is trying to push religion, they're going to say no. But then if it's someone who is, I don't know, like what Fasani was saying, if it's someone saying, oh, you know, transgender toilets, they're going to be like, oh, yeah, no, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Mm. That's inclusive. Yeah, welcome.
Mm.
And then if a school says, no, it's a boys, girls, boys have their toilets, girls have their toilets.
Mm.
This is what we've done. This is what we've always done.
Mm.
Don't try to change us. The courts are going to be like, oh, no, human rights, oh, blah, blah, blah. That's my only concern. In that, I don't know if it will be consistent both. Yeah, I don't know if it will be consistent for all scenarios.
Mm.
But I absolutely, I did smile when I heard the school's defense and I heard that the court ruled in their favor. I did smile.
Would have you smiled as wide if it was a Christian that had made that request?
Yeah, if the details of the story remained the same, then yes. Because the school is not shy about who they are.
Mm.
And apparently they're a very strict school.
Mm.
Very strict school. And the reason that the parents sent this Muslim girl in school is because they knew it was a strict school.
Not only are they strict, but they have results to show for it as
Yeah.
well. So they produce good results.
So it's not like that. It's not like the school did a 180 and then the child is now left in the dust. Mm. No. Mm. The school has been standard in the thing. So, for example, let's say a Christian went to, any school. Yeah. And then they were like,
okay, the Christian went to a Sikh school and now they went to crucifix.
Yeah. Or something like that. So for me, if the details of the story were the same, then yes, I would still say props to the school, because what I admire is the stance of saying, no, this is who we are. This is what we do. This is our culture. Get on board or get lost. That's the mentality that I admire.
Okay. Interesting enough, the two things that you've both touched on were actually what I then wanted to go into. They were my next two questions, to say that I respect the stance, to start off with what he said, and then I'll come to what you said. But is this not an issue on equality and diversity then in the society that we're living in? Because are we not meant to be embracing, accepting, and making sure that we've created a platform where all can do what they want?
I think I love equality, I love diversity, but I think what people think equality and diversity is going into something where something doesn't exist and making that thing exist.
Which is
for me is sometimes a problem. It's like, if you can find yourself fitting into somewhere where your needs are already met, but you choose to go somewhere where you know your needs are not met, and then now you're forcing those people to meet your needs, that's not necessarily equality.
It's been selfish.
Okay. So I did have a question, especially
when you have very specific needs, very, very specific wants and needs, and those can be provided for you without complaint, without hassle, without ease. But you're insistent on, do you remember that case of the Christian baker? And so, well, you can get that cake baked anywhere. There's loads of bakeries that will bake you that cake. But you want the one person whose morals and values are against that to make you that cake.
It's wickedness.
People need to stop trying to make themselves fit where they don't belong.
Okay.
That's also not fair on the other people. I think it's a level of selfishness where you put people in very hard positions and very difficult decisions. Like Chin said, that school already, they would have probably gone and looked around to see what the school offered. If a prayer room is really, really on top of your list,
that's not a school you should have gone
to.
I think people need to know their priorities. If that's not a priority, and it's for the school to say yes or no. I mean, so I know some schools will provide like a classroom that's free for kids to go and pray in if that's what they want to do. But again, that's to the discretion of the school if it's not the ethos of the school. It's different if on the brochure it said, we cater for all religions, and then you get there and they're refusing your prayer room.
Then you have a fight.
And we also have to remember that the purpose of a school is to educate your children. I think people really put a lot of other responsibilities on schools that are not a school's responsibility. So the school's purpose is not to further this child's spiritual life. It's not. So for them, providing a prayer room is not their... It's getting good GCSEs is the outcome that the school is looking for. They did not advertise to you that we will, you know, further
cater for your spiritual life.
They didn't.
That's fair. Okay. That's fair.
So if a school does do that, by all means, all well and good. But at the same time, if they can't provide those facilities and they haven't advertised those facilities, I don't think they should be penalized for that.
Okay, so I want to come to what you also pointed out then, when you, or both of you actually, were saying
Just add one more thing?
Yes, go on.
And also, where does the buck stop? Because the Islams will say we need a prayer room. The Christians will say we want crucifixes everywhere. The Sikh will add their own. The Hindus will say, oh, we want Buddhas in every corner. And then,
you have a room for every...
And then the African cultures want this, and the Asian cultures want this. Before you know it... Where does the school? Because once they say yes to that one thing, the can of worms that opens for that school. What does that school then become? Because now they have to cater for everybody. Oh, and then it's a case of, well, it's discrimination now, because you gave the Muslims a prayer room. Why are you not giving the Christians their crucifixes?
Okay, fine, fair enough. I mean, it's really interesting. I don't know what I think about it. Like you said. At first as well, I celebrated it. I was like, this is good. This is more what we see. We need to see more of this. But I do have a concern as well, in the sense that I'm not too sure if that was a Christian, for example, seeking for a space or room to pray. I don't know if I would be too like, oh, yeah, no, don't give him the room as well. I'm not too sure. But
before I ask the question.
Yeah, but before I come to that, you both touched on the fact that you're not sure if it was the LGBT community and the trans, you know, pushing for pronouns, you're not sure if the judgment would be the same ruling. Right? Now, if it was the same ruling, would you both say that then yes, kudos, that is fair enough. We agree with that. You know, can we put side by side that, like, let's say gender identity with faith, can they exist on the same plane, or are they two different things?
They can exist on the same plane for a school, because again, like I said, the school's purpose is to educate your children. Yes, social aspects fall into it, but that's just part of life. We're human beings, we're social beings. But if a school were to say we're keeping our toilets the way that they are, I think that should be also okay.
Okay, so the school doesn't say that you can't bring your transgender students here, for example, right? So if a transgender male, for example, went into that school, you know, or rather, if they said, would it not be an issue if they said, if you are a transgender male, if you come here, as far as we're concerned, we're going to treat you as a woman. Wouldn't that be an issue?
They wouldn't need to say that. So let's say that you went to the school and you said, you know, I'm transgender, and the school made it clear that we only have male and female toilets.
Right.
And we have no intentions of changing that.
Right.
And you still went to that school. I don't think you've got a leg to stand on.
Pick a toilet.
To say, oh, but where is my transgender toilet?
We told you what
we offer before you came here. And I think we've got to remember, people hold different things to different esteem. So for somebody, their highest context is going to be religion. For somebody, their highest context is going to be gender. And unfortunately, you can't say one is greater than the other, because it's a personal thing.
The biggest question I found myself asking was to say that, should such a school be allowed to exist in such a society that we're living in?
I think we need more schools like that. In fact,
is it not reversing a lot of work that has gone into integration?
Yes, reverse it. Yes, reverse the work. That's my point. Reverse the work. You're making it sound as if the reverse is a bad thing. That's what I'm saying.
We've worked so hard to get where we are.
Who has worked so hard?
The society has worked so hard.
Who in the society?
The school is not a political agenda. The school is there to educate. And unfortunately, education is being watered down because schools are now having to deal with a lot more societal issues, a lot more social things. Let a school be a school. Let a school teach.
100%.
Let churches church. Let mosques mosque.
And let parents be parents. Because the issue is, you're saying the war, so much work has been done into the issues that society has let parents be stupid. how about we have initiatives and programs to actually tell parents, yo, if you have a child, parent your child.
So you're gonna
don't expect the school to do it, don't expect the community to do it, don't expect the government to do it. Parent your child. Send them to school to learn about science and geography and whatnot. When they come home, indoctrinate them if they're about the transgender, if you want. Take them to church if you want. Tell them they're monkeys or whatever. That's fine. But when they go to school, it's about science, geography, maths, English.
I don't want to dwell too much on this, so I'm going to ask two last questions. You can address them at the same time, and then I want to move on to the next one. Okay. Because the more you talk, the more I'm having questions, right? Mm-hmm. Especially on the last part, we just finished talking about, you know, let's say SDS and Sabbath believing, and you're expected to be in the world and have that respected as well. So we're expected to have an employment that allows us or allow them to be off on a Saturday.
Can I address that? Before your questions.
This is one of the questions. So yes, you can address it. Right. So this is starting to sound like, even for those people, which we were once with them people, it's almost like, yeah, I get your religion, but I'm sorry, I'm going to need you to come to work on this day because that's your contract.
And then you've got the decision to either take that job or not.
Yeah, before we get there, I think it's important to note that I'm not saying that we have to get rid of all organizations or societies or anything that are, quote unquote, integrate people. So for example, you have schools that are multi-faith schools. They have multi-faith prayer rooms. They respect that. One of the schools I deal with closed for Eid. Why? Because I think they said about over 50% of their children were Muslim. So out of respect for them and the community, they're closed for Eid. They're not a faith school. They're a normal academy, but they're closed for Eid. That's fine. Hands up, I respect that. There's no issue with that. But then the thing is, so the point isn't get rid of all progressive whatever, because there'll always be people that want to do that. And I think that's good. So have the organizations that want to do that, but then let's allow the freedom for organizations that want to stay more traditional, culture, or have stricter policies. So they're not saying if you're Muslim, Hindu, whatever, don't come to our school. No, everyone is welcome. But you have to understand these are policies, and you have to abide by them.
That is a fair point.
I think that's fair. But the issue now is the society are looking at anything that has strict policies that say, no, you have to lax those. We don't like that anymore. That's what I'm against.
Okay, fine. Fatsani?
And that's what's going to the parenting thing. You know, that's a decision as a parent. Parents also need to make. They need to be looking at these things and seeing what is their highest context. If your highest context is your child needs a school with a prayer room, you go look for a school with a prayer room.
Because schools should exist.
Or
schools with prayer rooms should exist.
Or you ask for... you ask, is that possible? Before even your child starts. Because now you're expecting the school to implement something because you go to that school. It's not how it works.
So if the
wildest requests that schools get, if they were to implement each one of it wouldn't be never-ending. Because that's what I'm saying. If this precedent... If precedents like that were to be set, where would schools have to draw the line? And then you'd also get the conflict of now it's a question of equality. Why are the Christians' prayer rooms much bigger than the Islam prayer rooms?
That's the nitty gritty.
Fair enough. Once you're granted something and you know that you can keep pushing the boundary, you're going to start to pick on the nitty gritties, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, just look at a certain community.
Interesting what you're saying, because I'm coming to that actually. You just said that, but before I come to that, very, very quick one. So if there was an organization somewhere, an institute somewhere, school somewhere that said whites only, we don't accept black people, we are to be okay with that and go look for schools that accept black people, that should be allowed to exist?
I mean, if there was a school that said white kids only, I don't think I'd want to send my child there anyway, because I'm throwing them into the lion's den.
Sorry, say that again.
I said if a school publicize that they only like white kids at their school, as a parent of hopefully a black child, if it comes out a different color, I'll be worried. Then I wouldn't want to send my child, because already I know my child is
The question is would we be okay with that school existing? And I hope this is not too far from what we're discussing, because I'm looking at the institute.
May I say yes?
Should we be okay with it?
I would say, A, it depends why it's only whites only, but I'll say yes. Mm. I'll say yes. Because if we say that, oh, there's a university just for black students, mm. everyone will say, yeah, that's fine. Oh, advanced black movement, whatever. Mm. Obviously, mm. they'll claim mm. the history and everything else. Mm. No one is going to have a problem with that. Mm. So my point is, clearly, in people's minds, you can justify racial segregation depending on the argument that's being made. So for me, it would depend on the argument that's being made for the whites only. So, for example, stats show that white boys are the least educated or least disadvantaged with traditional education.
Mm.
So if someone was like, let's say there's a white person who was passionate about their race, which is fine. Mm. It's okay to be. You're going to be pro-black. Why can't you be pro-white?
Mm.
Someone's like, you know what? No. White boys are really having tough times in these schools.
Mm.
You know what? I want to start an institution that addresses this problem in society so that white boys get a good education. All right. Fine. I'm like, that's fine.
Offbeat POV never fails to surprise me.
I don't know.
I surprised myself when I was saying it. When I was talking, I was like, "Don't believe what I'm saying," but no, I can stand by.
I don't know. I feel like for me the difference is,
and race is a bit different. As
yeah,
well,
I think for me the difference with race is something you don't choose.
Mm.
You don't choose your race. Things like religion. Well, you mean you don't.
So essentially, you're saying that if there was a school that was really good, but Michaela, but obviously didn't allow praying, then it's up to me to change my religion in order to make sure that I'm praying when I'm at that school.
It's up to you to either confirm what they're requesting or go somewhere else. Because
the thing is, you can't change your skin to white, or somebody can't change their skin.
But you can't
change
your beliefs.
But you not change your belief, but you can find.
No, you can. People do change.
Yeah, I guess you can change your belief.
You can change your belief to get married. You can change your belief to I don't know.
Get a job.
Yeah, you can. If you want to, you can. Yeah.
All right. Okay. So, 2 minutes. To this question, mm-hmm. you've kind of tackled it already, but I was so proud of it. I still want to ask it.
Okay, ask away.
Did you use a new word in it?
No. Here's a question.
Mm-hmm.
Is the religion of Islam doing too much? Was this a fair fight? Well done, you tried, to the student. Or being that they knew what the school was about, was this arrogance on the student's part and the parents' part?
Oh, you're right. That is a very well-phrased question. I see why you're proud of it.
I don't think it's wrong to fight for your faith and to advocate for your religion and stuff like that. But I think you also have to be comfortable and confident in the fact that you might not win that fight.
Mm.
And as long as that losing the fight doesn't discourage your faith, then by all means go fight it. The problem is when you go fight, you lose, and you're like, well, what's the point of my religion anyway? I'm not going to be winning these things. And just the same way you want something, you have to be okay with people wanting different things and not agreeing with what you want to happen. So yes, by all means go fight, but it's not always going to go in your favor, and you have to be okay with that, and you have to understand the perspective that you don't have to agree, but understand sometimes why that decision has been made. And I think we also have to, like we've done here, we have to be able to look at the bigger picture, because yes, you're Muslim, I'm Christian, I'm this, and that's your highest context, that's my highest context, but we can't both win. We can't both win. It's always going to seem like either somebody's higher or somebody's lower.
Okay.
Yeah, no, ditto, really. I think I understand why the ruling was the ruling, and I applaud the ruling.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I can say, oh, you knew what the school was like, blah, blah. But yeah, kudos to them. I guess they still like the school because it's a good school, good results, whatnot.
Mm.
So they want to stay at the school, but then bend it a little bit to fit their life. They tried, they lost, keep it moving. I think I don't think they were wrong to try, but yeah, they were trying it a bit. but like Lofatani said, if the law allows you to do that, so you know, yeah, no problems there,
right?
What do you think they're doing too much?
I really do. And I don't know if I respect it, or I don't know if they need to slow down, because in recent times, for example, we know in Britain, they're trying to push the Sharia law. I think a lot of Brits are now worried about Britain losing its Christian identity due to the Islam. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of small things going on. And we're not even talking about the extremist. Yeah, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the normal Islamic religion. I feel like it is probing and pushing into the society.
Isn't that just the natural progression? Because their numbers are growing. So if the society is starting to get more and more Islam, isn't just the natural progression that they're going to start impacting policies and things and holidays and stuff, and their celebrations will go.
I don't know if I'm saying
London.
It's a natural. I don't know if I would say it's a natural progression. I understand it.
Because
if majority are, then unfortunately, yes, automatically by nature.
Right now, I don't know if they're
change.
Majority, but they're a growing and fast growing as well. So I don't know if them,
but
they're fast
I feel like
growing.
There's a difference between them growing, more mosques being opened and things like that, to them actively trying to push and influence the society so that everything now reflects them. You know, I think for me, that's where they look
too much.
But
you also got to think, the same way you'd advocate for Christianity is the same way a Muslim is going to advocate for Islam. You're only saying that because you're not a Muslim. But if you're a Muslim, you'd probably be pushing the same agenda.
Which
so you've got, everybody's always going to advocate for what
agenda,
they believe,
yeah,
for
yeah.
their agenda. So I wouldn't say they're doing too much. They're doing what they think is best for their religion, the same way we'll go preach to the masses because we want to convert them more to Christianity so they can follow Christ. I think the only difference is that they're starting on the back foot because historically the country initially was a Christian country.
Yeah.
So that's why it feels almost like a takeover, but actually all they're doing is spreading the gospel, spreading their gospel the way we want to spread it. They're spreading their gospel. They're evangelizing concerned.
All right. So, 7-8 minutes on this, off the back of that, going on to the next video. Bishop Mari Emmanuel, apparently he's an Orthodox Christian. He was delivering a message live streaming when a 16-year-old Muslim boy, from Sydney attacked him and stabbed him a few times. Which got me thinking. I mean, you can give me your initial response on that, first and foremost, what you think about that event. But the question I really wanted to ask in regards to that was one, which is, should, as Christians, should we aim to coexist with other religions, denominations, or do you think it's about establishing that Christianity is the one true religion that should exist? I don't know if you understand where this question is coming from, because obviously not using this guy's example, because he has been branded as an extremist. There's a lot of backstory to that he was indoctrinated, but just thinking of Islam as a religion, going off what we're talking about, they are really probing, they are really pushing, they are multiplying in numbers, and they are, obviously a lot of things are going to change if we keep going at the pace that we are now. So I was thinking about the time of Jesus. I feel like as Christians we're very lax and accommodating.
We're sheep.
I'm gonna come back to that. I don't know what you mean by that, but you're gonna explain. But we're very you're a Hindu, that's fine, God loves you anyway, and then all this. But if we do look at Christ carefully, now a verse did come in mind. It's a prophecy. So obviously take it with a pinch of salt. But in Revelation we see the heads on the dragon as the mountains. And then obviously there's the talk of the, am I mixing verses?
I don't know what point you're trying to make, but make
you
it
quickly.
You have
to say the last bit first.
No. The point I'm trying to make is that when it's all said and done, there's one true mountain of God.
We're talking about Daniel and the Rolling Stone.
I have no idea what I'm talking about, but don't worry about it. All I'm trying to say is that the verse was in my mind, but it disappeared. But what I'm trying to say is that when you look at the biblical prophecy regarding religions, it does show that there's one true religion. Do you think, bouncing from the energy of what Islam is doing, should that be something that Christians are also pushing for?
No.
Should we be there trying to, in our preaching, in our prophesying, in our whatever, trying to show why all these other religions are false religion, fake religions, or if they are that, and establish the one true, I am the way, the truth, and the light, as Jesus said? Does the question make sense?
I mean, it's you phrased it. It's not as sophisticated as the other one. The other one was very good.
Well, this one wasn't written down.
This one was properly.
This one was coming from my head. This one wasn't written down.
It depends what you mean. So, from what I understood you to be saying is that I think there is a teaching in Islam that says innocence, right? It brands anyone who doesn't follow the Muslim faith as a what's the word they use? Haram or whatnot, or an enemy of the faith, basically, right? And I know they have explanations about how they zigzag around this, but in essence, it says kill your enemy, right? Now, like I said, I imagine it's probably more complicated than that, but that's why you have extremists.
It's really not. The little boy was called a soldier by somebody.
But that's why you have extremists who go and, you know, do suicide bombing or whatever, because for them, that's a righteous act that they're doing, hence why their virgins are waiting for them, right? So I don't know why you're laughing. That's
their virgins are waiting for them.
It's the meme.
So if we're talking about that type of mentality, then absolutely not, because we do not see that in Christianity. We do not see that in the Bible. That's not the mentality that Christ came to give us. We as Christians, obviously, we preach the word and we want people to be converted, not out of you have to, otherwise you're the enemy, but out of love. It's a matter of we have found the pearl, we have found the gold, come and enjoy this with us, right? Or come and find the truth, come and
but
find
in doing that, would you not need to convince that person that what they have is not the pearl?
No, and that's what I'm saying, that if we're talking about having discussions, trying to convince people or trying to debunk Islam or Hindu or whatever, if that's your calling, I'm fine with that. But the thing is, you're doing that it's not out of aggression or out of violence or out of, you know, join Christianity, which is what I guess the extreme Islam people do. It's what it's
even
about.
Even extreme Christians.
It's about join us out of fear. That's not the message. The thing you're referring to about how the mountain of the Lord shall be established, there's a time for that. Yeah, and there's a reason why there's a time for that. So yeah, there will come a time where Christ will rule the world, new heaven, new earth, etc., whatever, but that's not for us to usher that in, right? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants. So God has the time, God has the plan, God has everything. He will make it happen. For us is to do our part, preach the message, preach love, we shouldn't be. Our aim shouldn't to bring about a world Christian government right now. If that's any Christian's aim, I think, I don't know what Bible they're reading, but that's not what the Bible preaches.
And even the way Christ ministered, it wasn't about forcing the word down people's throats. It was let those who have ears hear. So if the word falls on you and you've heard and you've understood. If the word falls on you and you haven't heard, you haven't heard. The people next to you hearing, it's not that the words are different. It's just where it's touched and where it's tantalized, it's different. So yeah, like Chin said, I don't think it's for us to then start becoming finger pointers as well and telling people, oh, you're going to go to hell, oh, you're going to... But the time for that is coming, but it's not now.
What I was saying, if what you mean is, can Christians go down the road of debunking other beliefs and whatever, whatever? If that's what you're called to, if that's what you're knowledgeable in, that's absolutely fine. Remember when Paul was preaching in one of the towns and he referred to one of their gods, you know, like, oh, your God says this, but actually, this is the true God, right? So he's showing them that this God you worship is not the true God.
What was the story in the Bible? Was it with Baal? And the two built the two altars.
You have to give me a little bit.
Elijah.
Baal was the god. Baal was the name of the god.
When
and
they
Elijah
poured
the water
on stuff.
His altar.
Okay, yeah.
And you know,
you have to give it. Baal and the altar, come on.
Not enough.
It's like Elijah, Baal,
Elijah,
and the altar. Then I'll know.
Come on.
For Elijah, how many Baal altars have there been in the Bible?
Okay, fine.
Throw Elijah in there and it's put me in somewhere
but
in
but
the
you know
Bible.
But you know there's no Malawian song. You know, they just sang the song. You
right,
know
yeah,
the
so,
song.
Well, what's your that experience?
Finish your point or that experience.
Elijah disproved the gods is what
you
said. Yes,
Elijah disproved the gods. So I'm just giving an example to you. You know, that you can, you know, disprove something. Firstly, have enough evidence to back her up, because you don't want to be sounding a fool. I think sometimes Christians go into conversations without actually having the knowledge and having the information, and then it's just like, well, what have you achieved? If you're not confident, leave it.
My last question then.
You might end up blaspheming.
20 seconds each for your responses, and then we'll call it a day. Wouldn't you say that? Okay, so I do agree that I wasn't asking from a forcing point of view. I was not, from a belief or whatnot. But I think we do need to realize that the Bible does teach that if we do not believe, those that do not believe are gonna burn in the lake of fire. Now I think sometimes we are hiding a lot behind, oh, it's a message of love, it's a message of love, it's a message of love, which it is. You know, and I do agree that you didn't go preaching out the gospel starting with you're going to burn, but I think it's a very live situation of, in a sense, the God that we do worship is saying that if you are not my sheep, you are going to burn in the lake of fire with the devil and all his demons. That is the message we are preaching.
What's that got to do with what you're saying about, advancing Christianity?
That's what I'm coming to. So the last question was to say that, wouldn't you say that, therefore, it is every Christian's responsibility? Because you were talking about if you're called to debunk, wouldn't you say that as long as we are preaching the message or the gospel, in the conversations that we are having, it's going to be part of that conversation is going to be showing that if we do not believe, if you do not quote unquote accept this message, this is the end of things. Because if you are not a believer of God, anything else that you're believing in is an idol worship, is false, is leading you to perdition, basically, So when I was saying that we should be a bit more, should Christians be a bit more forefront like that? That's where I was coming from. I wasn't coming from forcing, but I was coming from taking on the spirit of the advancement of Islam, not from the negative point of view, but from, we have mentioned about how the message is going to be preached to the ends of the earth when it comes. So as long as we are preaching, whether in our small groups, big groups, thousands or whatnot, there is that aspect of showing that actually any other gods but the God of heaven, in this context, would be any other religion but Christian, is a false religion. And if you don't convert, your end will be lake of fire. Isn't that every Christian's, shouldn't that be every Christian's responsibility as well in what we're preaching on a daily basis? 30 seconds each and we're going the day.
No.
What he said.
Okay, fine. All right. A bit of meat. We had to preach a message without telling what happens if you don't believe in the message we're preaching.
Not all are called to be apostles, not all are called to be prophets, not all are called to be leaders, not all are called to be healers, right? So my point is there a place for that? Yes, absolutely, there is. But if your question is it every single Christian's responsibility? No. Because some people's responsibility may be to preach the message of love. And that is their calling. That is their responsibility. Who was this prophet? Who am I thinking of? I don't know if it's Hosea or Haggai, but there's a prophet that was raised for lamentations. Israel, you're going to die. Israel, you're going to die. God will destroy you. God will destroy you. He was raised for that purpose. That was his message. His message was doom and gloom is coming, right? You can unpack it a bit more. And I agree with you that is a doctrinal thing. And you can't, if you're talking to someone about Christianity, it's not something that you run away from or you sidestep or whatnot. But if your question is, if we're talking about talking to the world, preaching to the world, is it every single Christian's responsibility to say, you're going to hell, you're going to hell, you're going to hell? My answer is no.
In closing?
What he said.
Fair enough. In all fairness,
do you think it's every single Christian's responsibility?
I do believe that, yes. And the reason why I do believe that, I think we are, as Christians, we are too... We hide behind this language of love too much. I feel like
you say hide. I say that is probably the biggest thing that differentiates Christianity from, I guess, its biggest rivals, which are Islam and Judaism. The biggest thing that Christ came to change was the love aspect. So you say hide, and I understand why you say that. But carry on. But I I do, and I do agree that some people do. But we can't negate that it is the changing ingredient. It is the ingredient that changes things.
Above all else.
And that's the thing. The things that I'm hearing what you're saying, but unfortunately, I'm seeing the impact that it has on the Christendom.
Let me ask you a question.
The impact that we have a lot less serious people because people are hiding behind, well, God is love.
But that's got nothing to do with the love aspect of it.
What I'm trying to say is that there should be more.
I think I disagree with your diagnosis.
Fair enough.
I don't know if that's the right way to put it.
But. Fine, you have the last word. So what I'm trying to say is that I do believe that there's a lot of we as Christians we need to be. I feel like it's high time that we started being brave and bold as Jesus was within that love. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like yes, the love aspect is there, but I feel like the boldness and the braveness that is portrayed in all prophets, in all apostles, in all believers is missing, you know. And I do feel like sometimes we are scared to preach the truth of certain things because, you know, we are worried we're going to lose believers, where people are going to be scared and so on and so forth. And therefore, it's like a half message, half baked, message that's being preached.
I'm understanding you to talk about the congregation, like speaking to believers.
You can't ask the question, make a statement.
No. That's what I'm saying, that from that last statement you've made, I'm understanding you to say we're watering down the message to believers. That's different to what you're talking about as preaching to the world. So if we're talking about watering down the message to believers, absolutely. Obviously, you still acknowledge babes, you know, milk and meat, but you obviously don't water anything down, which is why the books were written to believers and all this information is contained in the books that were written to believers. So I agree. When you're talking to believers, you don't water anything down. There's a time and place. Obviously, you take place someone from A to B, but you don't water anything down. But if we're talking about preaching out there, me, I always go back to, if we look at all the people in the New Testament, starting from Jesus going forwards, who preached to the world, what message did they preach? And you'd be very hard pressed to find anyone who went off and their beginning thing was, you're going to burn in the lake of fire. Because that's not what Christ came, that's not the point of Christ. Christ came to redeem his people. And in redeeming his people was, come to me, I am the way, I am the life. Now, granted, the flip side of that is, if you don't come to me, you have death. Granted. But you're not going out there and say, there's death there, find Christ. No, you're saying there is life here. There is water here. There's everlasting life here. Find it. What happens if you don't? Death.
So, that was Offbeat POV in the world. We discussed the Michaela School. As far as Offbeat is concerned, well done, school.
I think so. For now, ask me again. When something similar happens, ask me again. We'll see. But for now, I say, well done the school for taking its stance. I think
and the second one, bit more time to discuss on that as well. Prayers and thoughts are with the bishop. Should we say that?
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%.